Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's episode of the Encounter Now podcast. Thrilled to have you with us. Today, Chelsea and I are actually going to have a conversation about distraction. And we go off into a couple of little tangents, but I think that they're extremely valuable. This was a helpful conversation, even to us, to just recognize tendencies that many of us have that often distract us from what we want to do and what we want to focus on. So I hope that you find this episode beneficial. Let us know down in the review section below, but let's go ahead and get into it.
All right, guys. So today we're going to be talking about distraction and how we believe, honestly, we've had this talk quite a lot recently.
Thanks for having me on the show, Chels. Honored to be here.
Nicholas, are you distracted?
What?
So we just really firmly believe that a lot of us are probably trucking through life heavily distracted. And that can really manipulate every aspect and area of your life. And we kind of want to talk through this and what it can look like to live a distracted life and how to get unstuck from that place of distraction.
How to get your focus back.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yes.
Distraction is the opposite of focus. And focus is like extremely important to everything that we do. And you focus so many times during the day that you don't even realize it. But it's really like a task orientation system. For example, when you're at the airport and your computer or your phone starts flashing red, and so you need to find a charger. What's the first thing that you start looking for? Is an outlet. You start looking for an outlet. So your mind goes immediately to focusing on one task, and that is to find an outlet. Then you do, and then, or you don't, and then your mind moves on to something else. And so we focus a lot of times during the day, even though we don't know it. But what I've noticed a lot is that many of us, myself included, many times, much more than I would like to admit, get distracted either by circumstances, which, like I said, can definitely happen to me, or what can be even worse because it's something you can control is social media. And that's the really tough one. But I don't want to just sit on this podcast like the 59-year-old person who is just like, yeah, them kids and their phones and their social medias and their Facebooks. And like, I don't want to be that guy.
Right. And so we're not going to be that
person. I think social media is great. I think it has a lot of potential, a lot of purpose. It gives us the ability to speak to you even now. So I'm not going to dog it. But I think many of us abuse it in the sense that we use it to just kill time when we could be productive. And if that's you, I'm not going to harp on this all day. But if that's you, just like tighten it up. Get disciplined,
yes.
Know how much time you're spending on it, and then like utilize that time, enjoy it, but be productive in the time that you need to be productive.
Yeah, so boundaries are very, very important, and I love looking back at photos where we were in ginormous settings where there's a lot of people around us, and not a single person had a phone, or maybe they had like one of those flip phones, and they had the antenna that stuck out. They were just like on their little flip phone doing a work cone or doing a work call. So it's just funny to look back at those pictures, and now you just have everybody, their posture is like slumped over, and it's, I mean, we're probably killing our bodies in a way.
Do you remember back in like 07, those Nextel phones where you could like keep them shut?
My dad had one of those.
They had the beep or the, what was it called? The two-way radio. I think it's just basically
pager.
No, it was a radio. It was like you talk into the back of the phone and then it comes through on the other person's phone. It was only with Nextel. You could only do it with Nextel.
My dad definitely had one of those. If you guys didn't know this, my dad actually was pretty high up in Nextel. I don't know if you guys know what Nextel was, but it was kind of the start of Sprint. And
yeah, it evolved into Sprint.
Yeah. So the brink of having all of these telecommunication companies like Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, you know, my dad has always been in the telecom industry. So I feel like I know a lot of weird stuff about technology that most people don't. But
and then I worked it with AT&T for quite a bit.
But so, I mean, technology is not the pure focus of distraction and what we want to talk about with this episode.
Not at all.
I think one thing that is super inspiring, whenever we went to Israel and we were able to observe the way that another culture lives and how just able they were to do amazing work, hard work throughout the week in the parameters that they set forth for their culture, for their group of people. You know, most of them that we were around were Jewish, and in Jewish culture, they have Sabbath every single week. So they structure their whole work week, the whole time that they're working or spending time with their friends around Sabbath. And so Sabbath for them is after they get off work on Fridays, like the streets are pretty much
empty. It's like, millions, no joke, y'all, millions of people live in the city and it turns into a ghost town.
Yeah. And I'm not even just talking about the Jewish people. I mean, the Muslim people too, as well. They also have a rhythm to their life. And it's very fascinating, but it also made us internally reflect on our life and the pace that we carry our life in.
Tell them how intense it is. Tell them about the elevator.
Yeah. So for instance, when we were in this hotel staying in Jerusalem, there was this really cute boutique hotel that we were at for about 2-3 days, and it was on the weekend of Sabbath. And when we were trying to just, you know, do what any American would, go up the elevator instead of take the stairs, it would not allow us to press the buttons. It just wouldn't work. So they had shut off all the buttons in the elevator.
No, they were all lit up.
Well, yes. So essentially, you couldn't press the button, but it was just taking you to every single floor versus being able to tell the elevator, oh, I want to go to floor 13. So you would have to have the patience just be like, no, there is absolutely no work on the weekends.
Pushing an elevator button
is considered work.
It's considered work.
Yeah.
It's considered effort that you're exerting when you should be resting on the Sabbath.
Yeah. And that's also a place where I learned to like wine with dinner. I didn't really think that that was something special. My parents had, you know, drank on occasion like growing up, and my mom loves certain specialty wines, but in their culture it's like embedded where you get to sit down for a long dinner with the family.
It's insulting if you don't.
Yeah, it's insulting if you pass up the wine, which is very interesting. So I've been twice, Nick has been once, and the commonality that I noticed whenever I was with the family over the weekend for Sabbath, we got to stay with, I got to stay with two different families. Nick experienced the first time, and then I got back to Jerusalem and stayed with another family the second time. And they have their routines that they carry out on their Sabbath weekend. But one thing that is probably always different is they're sharing what had happened in their week that they're grateful for, and just having a heart of rest. And I think I'm going to make a little proposal for all of us now. I think if we can truly learn how to stick around the parameters of the life that we want for ourselves, like the things that truly matter to us, think about the 5 things that you like as your top priorities in life. I was talking to my friend Stephanie about this yesterday. I really want to have them on the podcast because they're such a great married couple, and they're really great at routine. But she was saying how she had to have a conversation with her husband about what his top 5 priorities were and what my top or her top 5 priorities were. Sorry guys, words are hard. And whenever they had established those, they looked for the overlap and they realized, okay, these things are really important to both of us. So let's figure out those first because we're a married couple. We're always together. Or if you even aren't together with your spouse all the time, being able to set up healthy boundaries and ways to prioritize your sleep, prioritize the way that you wake up or go to bed, or just being able to have undistracted time at dinner, being able to set your life up in those parameters allows you to have more time for undivided attention and less time to be distracted. So one thing that I think that is important to me is sleep, for sure. I mean, I talk about it a lot with Nick. We're always like, oh man, we're going to bed late and it's frustrating because it's going to throw off our next day. And it's just hard not to have a bad attitude about that. Honestly, I think that one thing that we're learning this year is to create our routine as a married couple. I didn't think that that would be something that, you know, you'd have to focus on when you get married, but it happens. You have your routines, they have theirs. You have to figure out where the overlap is and where you shouldn't overlap. And so
you want to know a funny Bible verse?
Sure.
The Bible actually does say, I'm sure I'm not getting it exactly right here, but to the man who loves sleep and the folding of hands, he gonna end up broke. or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
Is that like, referring to laziness though?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's just like so blunt in scripture. I believe the actual verse is that the man who loves sleep and the folding of hands, poverty will set upon him like a thief in the night or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, well, the folding of hands is basically just saying you're unwilling to work. So I understand that.
Yeah. But I just,
that's
I
not
know.
What I'm talking about here.
I just thought it was funny.
So if sleep is important to you, everybody needs a quality sleep to be able to work well and to live an undistracted life. Then set up healthy boundaries to be able to do that. So you cannot expect to sleep well and eat like junk throughout the day. Like, you're not going to support your body if you're drinking a cup of coffee at 6 p.m. and you're having cake before dinner and you are just like lounging out, like just going all out. Your body is literally a car that needs fuel.
Well, it's not literally a car.
I mean, you know what I mean. So you need things in your body to be able to support it so that it can run. You can think like actual thoughts instead of feel like you're going off on all these trains of thoughts.
You need to fuel your body with the right things and give your body the proper maintenance so that you can perform at an optimal level.
Amen. Yeah, so that's what I was trying to say.
I got you. That's why I'm here.
So think about every aspect that goes into your top five priorities. And if you're living with anyone, go over that with them. And just being able to structure around, you know, quality time and sleep
or whatever you value.
Some working
people
out,
some
whatever.
People don't like quality time or sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a rare group of people.
If you're Jocko Willink.
Oh, man. Don't promote somebody like that.
Jocko?
Yeah, he cusses up a storm.
No, he does not. He doesn't say a single cuss word.
Oh, I thought he's the one that says stay hard.
No, that's David Goggins. Yeah, I do not.
Do not endorse.
I mean, I don't endorse David Goggins. I do endorse Jocko Willink, though. His stuff is great. But anyways, I think we should mention a little more about like the psychology of focus whenever mm-hmm. it comes to actually having that.
Give
and
it to
what
us.
Causes distraction. Normally, the biggest cause of distraction is just like utter boredom. And then there is an element of addiction in there too.
Oh, so, yeah. I think addiction is before boredom.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you can make that argument one way or the other. But I think what at least I've heard, and my source here, just so you know, I'm not pulling stuff out of my rear end. A great source to listen to for this sort of stuff is Dr. Caroline Leaf. Her podcast is so good. And I'll listen to that sometimes like while I'm cleaning or when I'm in the car or I'll see her articles. She posts a lot of articles on churchleaders.com. So her stuff is really good. And I really enjoy how she makes an emphasis on the addictive part of distraction, how most of it isn't just like, oh, we get kind of lost in the day and this happens and circumstances come up and like, you know, we didn't get accomplished what we wanted to. What happens most of the time is that we have this serotonin pathway that's like carved its way into our brain. And so we use several different things in life to fuel that and to get those good feelings that we need, like peer approval and that people like us and that we're wanted and around and we're growing, we're
eating
expanding.
Chocolate.
Yeah, all that sort of sugar. That's a big one. Lots of different things carry over into this. It could be social media. It could be your diet. It could be your lack of movement. It could be your lack of productivity. Even being more productive, just like getting small little things done, like small, tiny little wins in the early part of your day can drastically improve your productivity level throughout the day, which is kind of like a snowball effect. Like the more productive you are, the more productive you're inclined to be, the more productive you want to be,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to break that cycle. You see that and you notice you're getting a lot done. And so you don't want to back off the gas pedal. And so I feel like if we do a little bit better job of noticing the habits that we have formed and doing what scripture says in Hebrews is like denying that, taking every thought captive and focusing on what needs to get done, having that discipline aspect in your life, I think is just so crucial to productivity. It's so crucial to enjoyment and fulfillment of the things that you want to do And it's made a huge difference just from the bit that I've implemented it into my life. And I hope to, and I want to continue carrying that over into new spaces and places in my life for years to come, because it's just so, so effective to have focus and to deny what you're either addicted to or that causes distraction in your life, and going after your goals.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network, and now a message from one of our network supporters.
There are some daily comforts that just make you feel grateful and grounded in life, like petting a dog, hitting that snooze button, and of course, the first cup of coffee, or in my case, tea. Nick loves coffee. And there are some things you count on every day to help you get where you want to go. Things like Upper Room Daily Devotional Guide. You can count on the Upper Room for daily inspiration, daily community, and daily prayer. It's the only daily devotional magazine written by readers, ordinary people, people who have encountered God in daily situations, just like you and me. The Upper Room is here for you every day through your email, a custom app, or printed magazine. Enjoy a free 30-day trial of our email or app service by visiting upperroom.org/welcome. That's upperroom.org/welcome to get your first 30 days free. Yeah, I think one of the bigger things that plagues our generation and we need to get a hold of is just how easily swayed we are by our emotions. Our emotions will tell us a lot of things. Whether to keep going or to stop, or I'm tired, or you deserve rest, or just like little things that it tells us, like our feelings can sometimes produce different actions out of us that we wouldn't necessarily want if we submit to them. And so I think that what Nick is talking about with discipline here is really important, because there's times even when we're challenged in the very things that we know that we should be disciplined in, and you know, we get off the path and we fall into the emotional just side of ourselves. And, you know, it's beautiful that we are emotional beings, but in other instances where our emotions can kind of be manipulated, where maybe we're a little bit sad one day, but we still, you know, have to get through the day and work or go to school or whatever it is and invest in our relationships, our phone might have like a few notifications pop up and, you know, we get distracted by that and we're led astray into, you know, a bunch of things that we didn't really account for that we wanted to do throughout the day. And they just kind of don't end up getting done. Schoolwork may be missed. Grades may start to tank because we have just given into our emotions completely. Now, there are some people that will message me saying that this year has made them extremely anxious, depressed, really, really just hard on their mental health. And to that, I would say this isn't just a distraction problem. This is more so of it is very helpful to get some outside help. So being able to talk to somebody and work out all the kinks in your wheel, just say that I've used this analogy before, but if you are a car, you know, say for this analogy, you're a car and you have four wheels. Sure. If even just one of those wheels is running on a flat tire, for whatever reason that the wheel got a flat tire, you're still on a flat tire. You're not able to go at the speed that you would like. You're not able to go to your next destination, really. And imagine that that one tire makes up different groups of your life, your social life, your education,
work life, family, home life,
whatever,
emotional life.
Even if one of them is just completely suffering, it can still cause, you know, the wheel to become flat.
That's your one flat tire on the car.
Right.
Like all these different spaces are, you could just call them different tires, but if you have one flat tire, you're still not going anywhere.
Right. So I think a lot of us will write off the things that we're going through and just say, you know what, I'll get through it. I don't need to address it. I don't need to bring it up. I don't need to work through it, because it'll just work itself out.
You're signing up for suffering.
Well,
when you don't have to.
In all honesty, I think a lot of us have that mindset because maybe we've just gone through a lot of hard stuff. And the quick answer that I would have for that is the more you press into it and actually, you know, agree with yourself that it is something worth looking into and worth getting the help for, then you will find that you'll be able to not only like do all the things that you feel called to, but you'll feel more fulfilled in everything else that you're doing. You won't feel like you're just lugging through life and you're just giving into your anxiety and depressive thoughts and everything like that. So address them and lean into them. I've even been talking to Nick lately about, I want to go back to marital counseling. I think that was really, really good for us. And since we've moved, we haven't been able to be with the same counselor because, you know, when you move, you can't go a few hours away and see the same one. So we're looking into doing that again. And I just think it's good to be precautionary about things. And even just to get counseling by yourself is really, really helpful. I would still go. If Nick didn't want to go with me, I would go by myself.
I 1,000,000% agree. And the reason that I would recommend actually going to a professional and not just like your buddies, mom, sisters, cousins, friends, uncles, aunts, ex-boyfriend is because I think that going to a professional allows you to free up that thought. At least I have this thought a lot. I don't know if you do, but I know I do. I don't like opening up like as far as all my baggage on a friend or someone that's super close. Like I'll tell them a little bit about kind of what I'm going through. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just saying this is what I do. But I think a professional is good because I don't have to have that feeling of guilt. Like I'm unloading all of my baggage and all of the things that are like not great in life right now onto like a friend, because I don't want to be viewed as that friend who every time they get around me, I'm just like bringing negativity to the table. I'm just offloading my baggage and loading it onto them. And so I don't know if you feel that way or if you're hesitant in that same way that I am, but having a professional kind of clears that off the slate, because that is, yeah, that's their job. And the better part of it is, even beyond that, is that when you talk with someone who is a professional, they actually know what to respond back to you that's helpful. And that's like the best part. So, man, there is something to be said for professional counseling and for a professional therapist, just beyond a friend. And I'm not saying that you can't talk to a friend. I think you should. But I just know for me, that's how I've felt when it comes to having those conversations with like a very, very close friend. I just don't want to be viewed as someone who, you know, is taking advantage of that friendship for like my own emotional benefit.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think it's pretty valid to not want to just burden your friend with all the things that are going on in your life. I saw something recently that said you need to be able to respect your friends enough to ask them permission if you can even unload anything like that on them, because they personally might be going through like 3 times more than you are. Mm-hmm. And just adding that on top of it, they might carry it like it's their own burden, because as Christians, we're called to carry each other's burdens. So that is really a hard balance, though, because if we are called to carry each other's burdens, that means that we have to let each other know what's going on. So I can see how that can be healthy to just rely on professionals. But I also see, as people who are living not for this life, but for the next, it is a healthy balance of being able to let in your friends to those things, to where you know that they're healthy enough to be able to handle it, or they can do the same thing with you, where you guys just have this working relationship. Like, I have a few friends that are like that. I wouldn't just unload anything to all of my friends. There's definitely, you know, probably one that I can recall where I can just call up and just be like, honestly, this week has sucked. And this is why. How has this week been for you? And they can be honest about it as well. And it doesn't feel like we are drowning together, you know?
Yeah. And I get that. And I definitely agree with you that it's very important to be transparent and vulnerable with things going on in your life. But I guess what I meant was that don't just continually bog someone else down with everything that's going on in your own life. Share, talk, but work through it. And I just think that professionals offer such a different perspective because they're trained in how to help you cope and deal with and go on the offense with whatever issues are going on in your life. And there's something, well, I won't go down that rabbit hole, but yes, be transparent with friends, be transparent with those around you. Feel free to share what is going on in your life, but I would definitely advise to take up the idea of going to professional counseling or therapy. And you don't have to walk into somebody's office. Like Chelsea and I used to do it in our pajamas with BetterHelp. And no, this is not a plug. It's not an ad. They're not sponsoring this podcast, but they're just a great resource that allows you to do counseling from anywhere. So, and it's not expensive. So,
yeah. So I know that this is kind of going on different rabbit holes and everything, but I think like at the heart of distraction, it can really go off into different areas of you can first be distracted and then you could potentially be depressed. And then depression leads to, you know, really negative thoughts about yourself or of others. And it can just keep going down into this cycle where sometimes you just don't recognize yourself because you feel like you've kind of lost touch with yourself because you have just allowed yourself to get in this cycle of distraction. And so we just wanted to kind of wake you guys up. If you feel like there is some struggles that you're going through and a lot of it could be potentially that you are distracted from, you know, the true calling that you have on your life or the purposes that you're to live out. And what I mean by that is God has given unique abilities, capabilities to each of you, and to just, you know, just write yourself off and say that there's others that can do that, or maybe you're not as called, or you're not as good as this person, or whatever, whatever lies you've been believing.
It's nonsense.
It's holding you back. And so that's what I mean by when distraction can lead to other things. So we just hope that you feel a little bit woken up and you're able to create some boundaries around your life. I know for me, if I start off my day on my phone at all, I feel like my day is completely set off on the wrong tone. And I don't know if anybody else resonates with that, but some of you guys just need to get an old-fashioned alarm clock in your room and you need to put your phone in a completely different room and you need to do the things that matter most to you to set your tone differently by just like biting the bullet and just getting a $10 alarm clock and setting up your day for success in the morning so you don't feel like you're a slave to your phone. Because you're not. Like, you know, as much as these algorithms are getting smarter and smarter, we can also be smart and not allow them to control us as well. So,
yep. And we implement everything that we're preaching here. We put our phones in different rooms. We got an alarm clock. And wow, I'm like 13 again.
One thing I think we can do better, though, is like not have technology so much before bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we're constantly working and evolving and trying to get better day by day. And I think that one of the most powerful things about this podcast is that we can be transparent and saying that, no, we don't have it all figured out. And no, we haven't mastered everything yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah, we need to hold ourselves to the very things that we talk about, though. I think that's an important part of leadership, of just moving forward. And so I feel like we're constantly learning that of, well, we just talked about this on the podcast, and if we backslide in this area, we have accountability. So,
yep. God sees that stuff.
You think it's good?
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. Some of y'all just need to hop off the talk. Some of y'all need to go to therapy. Some of y'all need to do both.
Yeah.
And man, I think when you just start focusing, like when you really do focus and like have the ability to tune in and really do the things that you want to do, like not just you have the ability to execute them, but you have the mind space that's free to actually go and do it. Does that make sense?
It sounds very vague, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that like you have the talent to accomplish something or the ability to accomplish something, but your mind is in a space to where you can actually go and do it. Yeah. You can go and do it well. You are not stressed about it. And that comes with having freed up mind space. But often we just get so distracted that everything makes us anxious, or like we get nervous about every little thing. And I'm not making light of anxiety, legit anxiety, because it runs in my family. I know it runs in yours. But I do think that if we focus in on what matters, discipline ourselves to do that, and then do it repetitively for long terms of time, I think we'll see massive change in our lives.
Yep. So we're holding ourselves to it.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening in, and go do the things, go implement the stuff. As we say, after like every podcast we've ever done, the only way to change tomorrow is to take a step today. And that is something that you can apply today with this episode. And we hope you hear us. We hope it resonates with you. And as always, we love hearing feedback from you guys. It's kind of hard to see like comments or anything like YouTube works. So we appreciate the ratings and the reviews down below. It just helps the podcast get out there to more people and to just hear that this is actually impacting you and changing, you know, patterns or thoughts or anything like that. So we appreciate it a lot.
All right, guys. Well, we enjoyed our time with you today. As always, we will talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys.
Listening to Encounter Now. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.